to prayers. Amen to prayers. And we're going to be getting it from Hebrews 4, 4:16. That's Hebrews 4 and 16. It reads, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need." God bless the doers of his word.
Second Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. "As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may be spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith." Amen. Good evening. It's a wonderful day for us to be here. It is God's will that we have gathered in his sight to worship him in spirit and truth. And that, according to his will, we will do. I want to read to you from 2 Chronicles chapter 33. We're familiar with a king by the name of Hezekiah, a king who had got down on his luck, so to speak, and he had become ill. And he prayed to God that God not take his life. God had sent his messengers in Hezekiah to get your house in order, for your life is going to be required of you on this day. But we know that God granted Hezekiah 15 more years of life. Hezekiah, as a result of those 15 years of life, he had a son. His name was Manasseh. Before that, he had not had a son at all. God does things in mysterious ways. That is what's said all the time. But Hezekiah's prayer was one that we're familiar with. But what about the prayer of his son Manasseh? The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 33 and verse number 1 that Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. 55 years. Even though his dad was Hezekiah, he said that he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He built the high places again, which his daddy had tore down, and he reared up altars for Balaam and made groves and worshiped all the hosts of heaven, and he served them. And he also built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, "In all Jerusalem shall my name be forever." And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in two courts in the house of the Lord, and he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the sun in Hinnom. He used enchantments and witchcrafts. He dealt with familiar spirits and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke God to anger. He set a carved image, the idol which he made in the house of God, of which God has said to David and to Solomon his son, "In the house in Jerusalem which I have chosen for the tribes of Israel will I put my name forever, forever." Manasseh was the son of a king, and he made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. He was the son of a king, and he became a king. And the Lord spoke to Manasseh, the Bible says, and to his people, but they just wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen. And when he was in affliction, just as his dad was, when Manasseh was in affliction, he besought the Lord God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. You know, we pray to God often in our lives as Christians, when things are good, when things are not so good. But I find these two stories of a father and a son praying to God in their afflictions and God entreating them as well and granting them forgiveness is a wonderful thing. And he prayed unto God, and he was entreated of God, and he heard his supplication and brought him again into Jerusalem, into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. 2 Chronicles 33:13. Then Manasseh knew the Lord, he was God. You know, prayers allows us to communicate with God No matter what's going on in our lives, we are children of the King, and when we err and we falter in our line of duty, prayer connects us to God and allows us to be forgiven and to walk according to God's will once again. In James 5:16, the Bible says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, it avails much. But we all should agree, certainly, that we need a righteous person to lead the congregation in prayer. We need a righteous person to lead us in our homes in prayer. We need righteous people in places and positions in this world to lead us in prayer. We never want to have a person standing in front of us and going to God on our behalf that's living in sin or non-Christian leading us in prayer. But does it matter whether it's a woman or a man? Does it matter whether it's a woman praying for you or it's a man praying for you? I got to ask you this question. Have your mother ever prayed for you? And was her prayer fervent and effectual? Amen to prayer is sort of a sequel to the lesson from this morning where there was talk about women and being silent. 1 Corinthians 14:34 says this, that women should be silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are submissive, to be submissive as the law also says. 1 Timothy 2:12 says, and I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over men, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first in Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Paul is not putting women down right here at all. He's not being some type of a rude person when he talks about that. He doesn't have a beef that he had with women at all either. And he doesn't have a lesser view of women when he speaks of this in God's word. Because Paul is an apostle of God, and he's teaching how God wants things done within the church. Outside of the church is a different story, but within the church, God wants things done a certain way. In the morning lesson, I told you that the word silence doesn't indicate absolute silence, or a woman couldn't tell her children to be quiet, or she couldn't sneeze, or she would just violate the scriptures. Paul is saying that she should not take a position of authority over the man in public worship, which excludes her from leading prayer when men are present. Men are present. And I heard a story just recently about a congregation of the Lord's church who told a woman that she couldn't teach a child once she became a teenager. He had to leave her class because he's a young man. Why do we put things in scripture that's just not there? The Bible says women should not usurp authority over a man. It doesn't say young man. And one of the things that God chooses to make a man out of us is a boy. You know, you would think back in your life as men that when you even were 21, you really wasn't the man that you thought you should have been. You really might not have been a man at all. Yet a woman can't teach a teenager in some churches of Christ around the nation, and she can't even pray in public for that child, even though she might be his mother. What a shame that is. It's not absolute silence. God has given men the role of taking the lead within the public worship. And that's why Paul says that I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. There are a couple of things we need to understand when we lead prayer. When you pray, pray with reverence and respect to God, and keep in mind that you're trying to pray for the church and not just for yourself. And a lot of people you'll find that get up and they pray prayers that are just incredible. That's the best word I can use. And they have absolutely nothing to do with the church or with interceding to God on behalf of the people that are dependent on them to do that. The prayer becomes all about words, and it's just words that are lost in the air. The prayer becomes about that person and not about the church that's assembled to hear that prayer. That they might be able to say, amen, I agree, I concur. When you pray, pray with reverence and respect to God. We're trying to pray for the church, We're not just praying for ourselves in that particular situation. Another important thing to remember that, you know, some people pray, and when they start praying, they start off high and they get all the way low with their voice. You can hardly hear what they're saying. They just start off high and they just start praying like you can't even hear them. You got to speak loudly and clearly so that everyone can hear you, so they can be a part of your prayer. It's a public prayer, don't you see? It isn't just whispering to God and telling God what's on your heart, what's on your mind. It's a public prayer. It's making God known, making known to God the things that are on our hearts and our minds as a congregation, as a people. So when we lead with respect to that as well so that people can hear us. A good idea for those men that are soft-spoken and might not have such a deep voice, come up to the microphone. There's technology that's out there today that it's just unheard of. You might not even have to come to the microphone. For some of them, you might be able to just speak. There might be electronics in the room that might be able to take your voice up. But we pray to God with reverence and respect, considering not only ourselves, but those that are in our company. You look at the prayers of the Bible, you'll find that each and every one of those prayers in the Bible directed to God were done in reverence and respect, and out of love for the person that was next to him. When you pray for me, I want you to pray for me with all the love that you can muster. When I pray for you, I'm praying with all the love that I can muster, pleading to God for your rescue, for your recovery, pleading to God that you might not fall into sin and temptation, pleading to God that he might keep us as a people, as a nation of God, because we're going to heaven. And prayer is our direct link to the God that can deliver us, that can rescue us and get us to heaven. So when you come before the congregation, when you come up to pray, make sure that your heart is right with God as well. A lot of people come up and they have assigned to do things in the congregation and you know they're not even ready for it. You know, I was taught as a Christian when I first became a Christian that if you're not ready, you're not in the proper mind set to do the things before the congregation, then it's all right to turn it down. Some men don't understand that. You cannot get in front of the congregation and represent God's people if you're not right yourself. You can't do it. This is not some kind of an image thing. This is not some kind of a show. When prayer is led and prayer is heard, when prayer is worded, it needs to be a fervent and effectual prayer from a man of faith. Because we're counting on you to go to God on our behalf so that everybody can say, amen. Amen. It's just little small basic things we need to understand that it's not anything to pray with. We're talking to God. We're talking to God for somebody else. Anybody ever came up to you and says, man, listen, you know, I really like that girl. Can you talk to her for me? You remember that? Oh, I like that guy. Can you talk to him for me? Now, what would it benefit you if they went and talked to him about themselves and you never got the girl or never got the boy? You found out that they was talking for themselves. And that's happened in life, hasn't it? So you've got to watch who it is that you ask to go and speak on your behalf. It's the same thing in the church. We have to be ready to go to God to speak on behalf of the congregation. Our hearts and our minds have to be right so that the congregation can say amen. Amen. Because it's not about us at that time. It's about God and his people. So make sure your prayer can be heard, so that everyone can participate in your prayer and everyone can say amen. And for those of us that are being silent, we need to make sure that we are listening carefully and not messing around with something else. We sometimes, we're too cavalier when prayer is being heard. We in the back of the building and we're talking and we're doing things that, listen, when prayer is being offered to God on behalf of the congregation, it involves those who are in the foyer as well as those who are in the auditorium, and those doors don't separate anything. You don't separate, it doesn't separate you from the prayer inside the auditorium just because you're out in the foyer. The prayer is for you as well. And those of you out there as well as those of us in here who are listening need to be reverent in our prayer and pray together and collectively with those that are praying for us and with us. Not messing around with something else. And think about what's being said and make that prayer our own. Make it our own. and then we can agree. We can agree with that prayer and say amen, either silently or out loud, men or women saying amen. But keep in mind that every time someone leads prayer to God, it's a prayer not only on their behalf, but it's a prayer also for themselves and for this congregation that God has given us. And what a wonderful thing that God has given us, that we might be able to have prayer, that we can communicate on each other's behalf, to go to God for someone else. It's no small thing. It's not like somebody has asked you to do them a favor. Somebody is asking you actually to help them save their lives, to help them get to heaven. It's something that God has given us, an avenue that we might be able to connect spiritually and as one man go to God in prayer, fervent and effectual. So get your heart right and pray. And get your mind right and pray. Get your life in order that you might pray, so that when your prayer is uttered in public for those of the congregation of our Lord's people, we might be able to just say amen. Amen. Four things I wrote down that might aid us in our prayer life. And we should know all these things, or I'm more than sure that we practice these things, because in this congregation at 431 Franklin, I could see full well that God has been answering our prayer. In small and subtle ways, he answers things for us. And in big ways, he delivers to us the things that we don't even realize. Our God has been answering prayers here at 431 Franklin. For disease and sickness, finances, jobs. God has been answering our prayers for those of us that have been burdened down in relationships. God has been answering our prayers. And you can know it, and I can know it. We live lives wide open in this world. And the prayers that God answers, the world sees those prayers being answered even in our very being, because we are grateful to God that he answers our prayers. Amen. So when we pray to God, we've got to be sincere. Got to be sincere. And we've got to be committed. You know, a great example of that is when David had committed a great sin, he came before God in a prayer with all sincerity. In Psalm 69:13, this is what David prayed. He said, "But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord. In the acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of your mercy, hear me in the truth of your salvation. Deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me deliver from those who hate me and out of the deep waters. Let no flood water overflow me, nor let the deep swallow me up. And let not the pit shut its mouth on me. Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies, and do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily." Hear me, Lord. Sincerity of David. Sincerity. And we would be good as well to be sincere to God when we pray. It's a serious matter, you see. But there are too many people that pray without being sincere. You've all heard the story that this man was in trouble out there fishing on the lake, and he couldn't even get in because he had lost his oars and his motor stopped working, and started lightning and thundering, lightning all around him. "Oh God, help save me, get me to the shore. And Lord, if you get me to the shore, I'll just give you everything that I had." The closer he got to the shore, everything that he had and his promises went down by 25%. By the time he got to the shore, he says, "God, just call me when you need something, would you?" That isn't so sincere of a prayer. As a matter of fact, God knows our hearts. And in times when we're drowning in sin, when we're drowning in sadness, and our souls are just melancholy from all the hurt that's around us, from the world and even in our own households, God hears our prayers. We don't have to strike a deal with God. Just pray to God in all sincerity, and God will hear you. A lot of people do this every single day, every single day. They make these little plea bargains with God, and when things work out, they want them to disregard what they said they're going to do every time. And people who do this are no better than the Pharisees of Jesus' time, who told the Father wouldn't hear their prayers because they already had their reward. Our reward is in heaven. Our reward is not here on earth. So when our prayers are made to God, let our prayer life be sincere. Our prayers have to be made in faith. How many times have we prayed to God and we've just doubted? We've doubted. Christians should never doubt. Not one time. James 1:16, let him ask in faith without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let no man that suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, if he prays with doubting, you will get nothing. We need to realize that God does indeed answer our prayers. Jesus told a parable in Luke 11:5. He said this, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me in his journey, and I have nothing set before him. And he will answer from within and say, don't trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give it to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he is a friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. God's going to answer our prayers. And he's going to do it in such a way that's best for us. That's best for us. He's going to answer our prayers either in the affirmative or he's going to say no. Sometimes our prayers are delayed. We don't get them when we want them. It's all in God's time. He answered Paul with a no answer in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 7. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will boast in my infirmities, Paul said, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'm going to boast in all my weaknesses, because when I'm weak, then I am strong. Let's continue to pray to God in all things in our lives. For our God will answer our prayer and give us strength in the times when we're weak. Paul's prayer was answered, and it was answered no, because God's grace, it covers us. It always covers us, and we need to learn to accept God's answer and trust his decision, just as Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed in anguish and bitter pain. And he prayed with sincerity, and he prayed in faith that God would deliver him, and God did deliver him according to his will, on his own will. The flesh was saying no, but God's will and the spirit that's in us always says yes to God and no to the world. That's our prayer. That's our prayer. So do as Jesus does. When you're getting to the point where you just want to say no to God, just go a little further and fall on your face, would you? Just do that. And allow God's will to be done in your life. Not his own will, but God's will. A lot of us take matters into our own hands today. And we don't let God be our guide. That's when we get that adage that says, God is my co-pilot. That means that you're doing the driving and God is riding shotgun in some kind of way. Well, God doesn't ride shotgun. I got news for you. Either you're for him or you're not for him. Either God is leading you or he's not leading you. We need to pray with faith and accept God's answer in our lives, because we not know what the future holds in our lives. We don't know. We know one thing for sure. If we continue on that righteous path, allow God to be the lead of our lives, that heaven is waiting for us. And that's our goal. We need to pray with humility. God will not hear a prayer if someone is prideful or self-righteous, because we approach God in humility, just as Christ was someone before the Father. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:5 that he was clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to those that are humble. You know, sometimes people always pray to God for the things that they think they deserve. They want them because they've done so many good deeds. They've done this and this and that. And Lord, you know, I deserve these things. Give them to me. Insincere, because your motive is all selfish. And no doubt men in this world take on the same attitude in their prayer. They do that because they want what they want when they want it. And they will get it however they can get it. Jesus spoke a parable to someone who trusted themselves that they were righteous, but they despised others. In Luke 18:9 and following, 2 men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Pharisee stood and prayed with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like this other man. God, I pray to you that I'm not like this other man. Well, who do you want to be like? If you're praying to God that you're not like somebody else, then you ought to have in mind to tell God who you want to be like. But you don't know who you want to be like because you don't even know who you are praying to God with that type of attitude. And 9 times out of 10, you don't know the man who you don't want to be like either. You don't know him. You just see him. We should want to be like the Christ. We should be able to see the Christ through the eyes of faith and not pray to God that we don't want to be like anybody, but we want to be like Christ. We want to be made in the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We want to think with the mind of Christ. We want to speak the oracles of God. We want to live our lives as Christians ought to. We want to be like Christ. We want to be like Christ. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and who humbles himself will be exalted. Self-righteousness. Self-righteousness reminds God just how good you think you are. A self-righteous prayer goes to God and tells God who I am, what I'm going to do, and who I'm going to be in the future. It's a self-righteous prayer. It reminds God how glad I am to be living, and I'm going to get up the next morning and do something that I want to do regardless. But we're glad that we're not tax collectors. How many of us have ever prayed a prayer and told God the good that we were doing, and our good was better than someone else's good? Is not all good, good? Is not all truth, truth? Is not all righteousness, righteousness? Can we separate that? Can we separate the good from the not so good? All bad is bad, all sin is sin. But we want to be not like the tax collector. The tax collector came before God. He wouldn't even look up to heaven. He asked God for mercy with humble heart and in sincerity. He was justified in his prayer. So when you pray, pray for humility. And one last thing. When you pray to God, sometimes people think they can pray for whatever they want and they should receive it. They completely forget about the will of God in their lives and they pray for things that God just doesn't allow. Somebody walks into the casino and they pray to God and ask him for help to win big, and they only go in there and play the penny slots. But God, you got to help me win big. We completely forget about the will of God. So when we pray, we got to pray for the right things. The right things. Right things. Praying for the right things will get us to heaven. It's going to get us what we want to get. It'll get us to God. Story is told about some college students who was dropping balloons from the 3rd floor on people who passed by. They dropped the balloon on a police officer. And they start praying to God. Not that they would apologize and repent for their sins, but that the police officer wouldn't catch them. Sometimes we pray for things for the wrong reasons. And sometimes we are selfish when we pray for all the wrong things as well. And that's a problem. So let's pray for the things. Let's ask God for the right things. Because James says, you don't receive because you don't ask correctly. You ask amiss because you want to spend it on your pleasures. We have to pray in such a way that we can be able to say amen when we pray one for another. That we can be able to say amen, that we have a satisfactory prayer and our hearts have been sincere and the intent of our prayer has been according to the will of God. So let's pray. And let's pray in our everyday life because it's how we talk to God. It's in our worship and in our private lives. Let's pray. Now, prayer should be directed in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It should be in the name of Jesus Christ. And men ought to lead prayer and worship, and the congregation should participate in that prayer. Let's be sincere. Let's pray in faith. Let's realize that God answers our prayers, and let's pray with humility and pray for the right things. The Hebrew writer wrote these words, Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in the time of need. My prayer today is that you will hear God's word and that you will not pray to God in a way that is not according to his will. Prayer is the only link we have for communication with God. And if we believe in God, we believe that God will hear our prayers. When we pray to him, fervent and effectual, as a righteous man, he's going to hear us and answer us. He asks us now to hear his word in John 6:45. He asks us to believe that Jesus is the Christ, John 8:24. To repent of our sins, Luke 13:3-5. To confess Christ, Romans 10:9-10, and be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. We can do that. And we can pray to God that he's going to deliver us up on that great and last day as we stand before him and give an account of the things that are done in the body. So we pray, and we pray sincerely, and we pray that God will answer our prayers. This is our word from God on this day. If we can help you as you come and stand and sing invitation song.
Sing.